All right, we have been going through the greats. That has been our theme here of our Sunday school lessons, and we've been studying the life of Abraham, and now we've moved into the life of Isaac. And, maybe we could just review a few moments. What did we learn about the life of Abraham, and what elements of his life can we appropriate for ourselves? Well, he was called out by God. He was called out of Ur of Chaldees, and he was told to go to a land that God would show him. So right away, he was challenged to go to a place that he didn't know where he was going to go. That was a by faith action, that he was called by God, and he was obedient to leave his country and his kindred, and he just went. He went, and the Lord then blessed him and showed him the land of promise. He then was challenged with the concept that God was going to bless him through a son of promise. And this is Isaac that we are studying this week, the son of promise. And yet, Abram at that time and Sarai were old. They were old. They were well beyond those childbearing years. And they saw it as an impossibility that they could have a son through Sarai. Yet God said, no, you shall. You shall. Sarai shall conceive. And at this time, in the next year, you will have a son. This is at that meeting where those three men came. And they were telling Abram about the destruction that was going to come upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abram and Sarai were being hospitable, and they provided a meal for these men. But in that meeting, Sarah was in her tent, and God spoke to Abram, said, "No, you shall bear a son through your wife Sarai." And she laughed, and the angel of the Lord said, "Why did your wife laugh?" And she denied it. No, I didn't. But of course, you know, you can't pull one over on God. He knows every thought, and even better than ourselves. Sometimes we, in our ways, we can forget even sometimes our motive, just like that, where God can bring it right back to where we were at, and he can trace it out and just kind of like hit the rewind button on the recorder and then play and replays the whole thing, going, oh yeah, that's what happened. Yep, okay, now, yep, it is clear. And so Isaac's name then was Son of Laughter, because both Abram and Sarai laughed at this idea that they would have this son in their old age, and yet that was what happened. And so he was a son of promise. And we could say and continue that we are studying about Abraham now, because Abraham has been blessed in that he listened to God's promise and believed, and he was circumcised by that work of faith. The circumcision was a sign of what he had done. His name was changed to Abraham, a father of faith. And we are the children of Abraham, not that we have a bloodline back to Abraham, but that we have a spiritual line to him, because if we believe, even as Abraham believed, we also shall be saved. We also shall be part of the family of Abraham, following that same pattern of having a like belief as Abraham believed God, and it was counted, it was registered. I always think of kind of like one of those old registers where you pull the arm down and go ka-chunk, And out comes or maybe it's like an adding machine where you type it in and you pull that arm, and then out comes your answer. That's what this faith was like, that Abraham, he believed and God pulled that arm and chunk, out came it red, said righteousness. It didn't have to do with the works that Abraham did or a certain status or a certain nation that Abraham was born in or bloodline. It had everything to do with that belief. And then God pulled that lever down and it registered righteousness. And so it's true. This is the same kind of faith that we need to have as to become children of God, is simply to believe. And it's hard for us sometimes. We want to make other things come into play, and we for us to try to grab onto this invisible concept that all we need to do is believe on this work that Jesus Christ did for us, that he died on the cross, that he shed his blood for us, and that if we would believe in this, as it says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's a belief system, an ability to believe God, and then he, ka-chunk, counts it as righteousness. So these are some of the things that we've learned about Abraham, and now we're going to look into the life of Isaac. And our first point on Isaac here is a sacrifice. Isaac, a sacrifice. Whew. When I look at this, if you look at this story and you say, wait a second, through Isaac, God has promised that the descendants would be as the sand of the sea and as the stars in heaven. Well, how is it that now he's going to be sacrificed? That doesn't make sense. How's that going to work? And so under our first subpoint, we can say he is the son of promise. He's a special son. Remember, Abram had two sons. He had Ishmael, which was the son that he wanted to be to answer God's decree that he would have a son, and that through this son that all the nations would be blessed. And Abram then went about trying to accomplish this by going into Sarah's handmaid, Hagar. And Ishmael was the result of that work. Ishmael was also going to be a great nation, that would actually be trouble upon every other man, as it talks about in the scripture, but that there was a certain blessing that went also to Ishmael just because he was the seed of Abraham. God didn't just cast him off. He wasn't going to just let him die in the wilderness because Sarah wanted them out of the house and sent them off in the wilderness. And probably as far as she was concerned, let them die. she didn't want them in the house anymore. And God had a plan in that. And Ishmael and Hagar, they survived and became a great people themselves. But the son of promise, how is it this now that God here, as we look in here, it says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. Pretty clear what he's saying, isn't it? It's not like you don't have to read between the lines here what God is asking him to do. It makes it real clear. I want you to offer him up as a burnt offering. Okay. Upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. Well, that brings this idea back, that last phrase, which I will tell thee, right back to how God called him out of his country and his kindred. And I will show you the land which I will tell thee. Same kind of pattern here. And this is a test for Abraham. a test for him to see if he will follow the Lord, even with his most precious son, this son of promise, this son that they've been waiting for, this the trials that they've gone through, and now Isaac is born. Now Isaac has grown up and growing up. And now God wants him to offer him as a sacrifice? Okay. A sudden request is the next part, which we've already kind of talked about here. As the sudden request is a burnt, offer Isaac up as a burnt offering. And then the final point here is, it's obvious, as the scripture says there, there's going to be a slaying that is necessary. Slaying that is necessary. Sacrifice costs you something, doesn't it? There's no way around it. If it's a sacrifice, it costs you something. It's almost right within the very word itself, sacrifice. Means it's going to cost you something. And for Abraham, it was going to cost him his only son. Well, it's interesting. We just talked about Ishmael. It wasn't his only son, but from this standpoint, it's the son of promise. And this is the way that the only son through Sarai, this son of promise, is in God's eyes, this was always God's plan. I don't think Ishmael was God's plan. And yet Isaac was always God's plan for him to be born. All right, let's move on to our next point, which is a statute. A statute. I would have said commandment here, but then it wouldn't have matched with the S. So I was going through the Psalm 19, trying to find all the different words for commandment. Statute worked. Okay, statute. So that's why we're putting that here, a statute. And a subpoint here is obligation. In the Ten Commandments, you could break the Ten Commandments up into two parts. The first set, if you go through the first sets of commandments there, I think it's the first four. Have to do with obeying God, about how that we shouldn't worship idols, that we shouldn't make them, that we shouldn't take the name of the Lord in vain, that we should remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Those are all commandments that have to do with honoring God. But the first commandment that has to do with man, a man-to-man relation, is that we are to honor our father and our mother. And that is the commandment that we're talking about here. Honor thy father and thy mother. What does it take to do that commandment? It takes obedience. That's our character quality, or submission. It takes obedience, but our character quality is submission. Isaac had to submit to his father here. Here in the text, it doesn't talk about one way or another that Isaac struggled with his father. It doesn't say anything about that. Nor does it say that Isaac welcomed the binding here. But it's implied that his son went along with the plan. Doesn't mention anything about a great struggle that Isaac was crying out, "No, no, don't take my life." And Abraham said, "No, well, the Lord said, sorry, so hold still." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that whole circumstance? And yet it seems to be from Isaac's life that he probably was, because of the way his life was, what we know of him, he probably was submitted not only to his father, but to God's plan. And we have to go into the unknown a little bit here, but I think there was probably an obedience here. I'm sure he didn't want to die, but on the same term, I think he trusted his father and said, well, if the Lord, you know, maybe they didn't say much either. I can't imagine they probably had a big, long talk about this. In fact, the scripture doesn't spend a lot of time here. It says, and they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son. Okay, let's see, that was five words. And bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. So I think it was probably they didn't spend a lot of time talking about it. Abram kept it secret, actually, up until that point. Isaac questioned, well, where's the sacrifice? You know, we usually bring along a lamb or something. And Abraham said, God will provide. God will provide the sacrifice. So the obligation to honor thy father and mother was definitely played out here by Isaac. And then our second point here is obedience. Ultimately, I think that in Isaac's heart there was obedience. Obedience to God-given authority, I think, is one of the greatest principles for our generation to learn. It's one of the principles that isn't being followed, almost to the T, is not being followed in our day. To honor thy father and thy mother. To honor this relationship. To believe that God is going to work through your parents. That God is going to direct your parents, maybe even unknowing to them. And God's plan for them, God can direct a parent to give direction to sons and daughters. And we can trust through Scripture by faith that God is leading them along according to the direction that their parents counsel and give. And this is a tough one for us. This is good for a young child to learn this at an early age, because they learn a relationship. They learn what a relationship is like with God. That someone else is in charge. And our nature, our flesh, doesn't want somebody else to be in charge. We really would like to have the final say. And we may listen to opinions and listen to counsel, but we really want to have that final choice. But that's not really what this is talking about. This obedience basically is saying to follow the direction and to hear. To obey your father and mother, for this is right. And there's a blessing that goes along with it. To be blessed upon the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's a commandment with a blessing. And it's a real clear thing in the scripture. Yet it's a hard area. This is For a young person, if they can grasp this and get this at a young age, they've made leaps and bounds to be able to trust God with their life as they go forward. All right. Again, this is not my ideas. This is the ideas of Scripture. This is a commandment. It's a commandment with a blessing. So it's not the word of this substitute preacher up here. It's the word of God. And he has a plan. All right, a solution. A solution is our last and final point. I've got a preventative salutation. How do you like that? A preventative salutation. Now, what do I mean by that? Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. That's the salutation. And then the next part is, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Lay not thine hand upon the lad. Neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. Ah, here it comes out. Here it comes out. For now I know that thou fearest God. God wanted to know, did Abram love his son more than he loved God? Here's another area that we can learn, is that oftentimes God will give us blessings, and then that'll become our focus. We'll turn our blessing into almost what we worship. And that's wrong. That's called idolatry. Remember that nothing that God creates should be worshipped. Only God, the Lord God Himself, should be worshipped. Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Wow, that's a real testing, isn't it? But that's a good lesson. And as a Christian, I think that we go through, God puts us through different trials that tests us to see where is the iron, where is the spiritual iron in our life? Is there really a good connection between us and God? Does it stand firm even more so than all the things that we love in this world? I want to challenge you on that. That's the right way to think as a believer. The one that gave you life and the one that gave you all the blessings that you have should be the one that you should honor, even to the point of death. Even if we lose all other things, we should be able to say, even if he slay me, as Job said, I will honor him. Even if he takes my life, I will honor. Even if he takes everything from me. This is, I believe, the test that God is bringing here to Abraham. All right. A solution, a preventative salutation, a perfect solution. So here, God has a perfect solution. What's the perfect solution? We read on, and it says, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Wow. This is an interesting... Let me read that again. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. We're going to have 4 points on this. So maybe you want to put this next point right in between B and C, a picture. What does this remind you of? This last phrase, it says, Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. In the stead of his son. Jesus Christ was lifted up upon the cross and sacrificed in the stead of us. It was us that should have been lifted up and crucified. But instead, God's only begotten Son was sacrificed. And here the sacrifice actually was done. Jesus Christ actually did become an offering and a sacrifice, not Abraham's son, God's only son. What Abraham was asked to do, he has done. He's offered his only son in our stead. Isn't that incredible? A ram in a thicket caught by the horns. This provision, is a type, Jesus being sacrificed for us. The ram in a thicket is like Jesus Christ who was taken by the Father and sacrificed for us. Promised blessing, which is our last point here. What does it say? It says, and Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord shall provide. Isn't this what Abraham was saying? In faith, the Lord shall provide. And that's what Jehovah Jireh means. The Lord will provide. And it is said to this day in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Interesting. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. Look at how the blessing comes right after the test. In blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee as the stars of heaven. So these promises that God made before this time to Abraham, I believe we're looking forward to this moment, this test of Abraham passing this test of being willing to give up his only son. And what's the result? Descendants as the stars of heaven and as the sand of the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. What a complete idea. Lots of descendants and triumph over your enemies. Wow. And thy seed shall all the nations of the earth, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Scripture is so good, isn't it? It says so much. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. And that was the end of the test. So here we start off with a sacrifice. The son of promise. That great possession. That great promise that Abraham was given. Now, a sudden request comes along from God. Take thy only son, sacrifice him. Go to Moriah, I'll show you what mountain you're going to sacrifice him on. And the cost was a sacrifice. A cost, the very word sacrifice means that you have to give something up. A statue. What's the idea here? A submission. The commandment that says, honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is the obligation. Obedience to that. Isaac is able to go along with the plan. Again, looking at this picture, God says in the scripture, whom shall I send? And Jesus says, send me, basically. He says, behold, it is written in the volume of the book. It talks about in Psalm 40. And I believe in that psalm, it's Jesus saying, I will go ahead with this. A preventative salutation. The angel of the Lord comes and prevents Abraham from what he was going to do. He was a thrust away. He'd bound him. He was on the altar. The knife was lifted up, and the angel of the Lord said, "Don't do this. Now I know that you won't withhold this precious promised son from me." Perfect solution. The picture of Jesus Christ coming in as a substitutionary sacrifice. For us, a substitutionary atonement. The need for us to have our sins taken care of. And God didn't let His Son go. He was sacrificed. And then, as a result, promised blessing. Well, let's bow and pray. Lord, thank you for your scripture. It is so good. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Lord, we thank you for the treasure of your word this morning and how we learn about the faith of Abraham and the obedience of Isaac. Help us, Lord, to be people of faith that are able to trust you, even in the times of testing, Lord, even in the trial. It's the blessings are just on the other side, as we see here in this story, as the stars of the heaven, as the sand of the sea. We ask for thy blessing the rest of the day and the service coming up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.